So thankful that you're joining us again on live stream. We've been so encouraged by the number of you who watch. In fact, by my count, which is an accurate preacher's count, we've got about five times more people attending church than normal. So our numbers in 2019 are going to look really, really good. Well, this is a crazy time. And I love some of the things that people have posted. I want to read something that really, really tickled me. People keep asking if COVID-19 really that serious? Listen up. Casinos and churches are closed. When heaven and hell agree on the same thing, it's probably pretty serious. I like that one. And we do know that this has turned really serious, because here's a symbol that will sum it all up. Life has been placed on pause. Just everything's been stopped. The governor of New York the other day issued an executive order where he said the state was on pause. Now, we've learned about this pause button. We've actually learned to appreciate it. You know, if you're watching a movie at home, you know, and you need to go get something to eat or something to drink or go to the restroom, you can push pause and stop. Not like when you're in a theater and you have to run back and forth just so you don't miss anything. We've actually come to appreciate that button. But it does get frustrating when it gets stuck. Stuck in the sense of maybe my wife says, well, I've got a phone call, I need to take it. And before long, she's out of the room 15, 20 minutes, and I've got it on pause. And it never seems like we're going to get back to the movie. And I think that's what these days feel like to many of us. We are stuck on pause, and we really don't like it. We're ready to touch the play button all over again. But before we do this, I want to talk a little bit about the principle of pause. It's an extremely important principle in Scripture. Look at what happened on the seventh day of creation. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. And then we see, when we get over to the Ten Commandments, we see that Sabbath, that pause, that rest time, commanded all over again, that is what people are to do. So it's all through the Bible. You're supposed to pause. Now, the idea of Sabbath is not just a Ten Commandment that was done away with. It was a principle. In fact, you see from creation that it started before the Ten Commandments were ever given. And it was the idea that out of every week, you need at least one day to pause, to reflect. You know, Jesus came and he fought them over the Sabbath, not because the principle was wrong, but because they had abused it. They had made it so legalistic that it was impossible. Stephanie and I went to Israel a few years ago, and we were in a hotel, and I saw the most interesting thing. One of the elevators was called the Sabbath elevator. Well, why? Because it stopped on every floor so that you wouldn't do the work to touch the button. Well, Sabbath is still a principle God wants us to keep. We even see that Jesus kept it when he came this earth. Luke chapter 1 says that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place to pray. Jesus' life lived around these rhythms. And then there's some other interesting places in Scripture that talk about the Sabbath rest and what we are to do in actually taking breaks. Listen to what people were supposed to do when they got married. When they were married, here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. If a man is recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year, he is free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. Isn't that crazy? 1 year into marriage, you get just to spend it with each other. How much that would have helped some of our marriages. Now, some of them it might have destroyed, but that was how important it was to God for people to stop and rest and pause. And then there was this command of God that I don't know that anybody ever obeyed. And that was the year of Jubilee. And that was every 50 years that they were to stop. They were not to plant anything. That wasn't unusual. They did that every 7 years. They knew before we knew about rotating crops and letting a field lay fallow. But on the year of Jubilee, you did it again, and everybody rested and just ate off the crops that were available. So God has always been very serious about this idea. And like I mentioned, when Jesus came to this earth, Jesus lived it out. Now, if anybody ever had an excuse to not pause, it was Jesus. He had under 3 years to carry on this incredible ministry. You can even tell oftentimes his disciples are frustrated because he gets off to these lonely places. If ever you might want to say, well, with Jesus, you don't need to pause. You've got too much to do and very little time to do it. But Jesus knew it was a principle he couldn't violate. Listen to what I believe is the pause principle. God created us to live in a healthy rhythm of activity and pause so that we might live life to the fullest. You see, God made you. He knows everything about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head right now. He probably even knows the amount of dandruff. Don't check it out. He knows everything about you. And he knows what's going to make your life fulfilling. You see, the problem with our culture today is that we say the full life is the full life. The full life is when I can line up enough events in my life to keep me busy. And Jesus says that's wrong. There's got to be that rhythm. Now, here's the interesting thing. Right now, we're being forced into this. I mean, I feel like God's got a pretty good sense of humor, don't you? I mean, how many times do we say, I'm just too busy, or, you know, I really don't have time for that, or I wish I could go to church, or I wish I could read my Bible, I wish I could serve. And now God's taking all the excuses away and says, okay, you said you needed time. I've given you a great deal of time in the middle of this pandemic. I'm not saying God caused it, but I absolutely am saying that God can use it. He's done this in people's lives before. Now, Old Testament Abraham, New Testament Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, both of them, their old ladies got pregnant. You say, well, buddy, that's offensive, but that's a pretty good description. Their wives got pregnant way past the age of childbearing, and they both laughed. And God says, okay, to teach you a lesson, for you to reflect on your lack of faith in me, you will not be able to speak until the baby is born. You see, often we're forced into these pauses. Now, here's my question. When we get out of being forced, what are we going to do when we come to where we have a choice? When this is over, are we going to continue to live the same pedal to the metal, breakneck speed that we lived before this? You know, some person has described the way we live as a stuck accelerator. It's dangerous. So why would we choose to pause? I'm going to give you two reasons today. First of all, the price of no pause. Second, the power of pause. Let's talk about the price of no pause. One famous writer, John Ortberg, says that we suffer from hurry sickness. And he says we're always trying to speed things up. I walk fast. I talk fast. And if you're not talking fast enough, I nod fast. We just always want things to be faster. We multitask. You know, a lady can be in her car, talking over her speakerphone, putting her makeup on, and driving all at the same time. We all get used to doing those things. I find myself is that anytime I'm doing one thing, I'm always thinking about the next thing. Even through this time of slowness, I've had to catch myself and say, buddy, you don't have to be in a hurry to get off the phone. You don't have to be in a hurry to get up and go do this. Just stop and enjoy the moment. And there's lots of prices to no pause. Let me give you seven of those. First of all, stress, burnout, just being unfocused. We have a hard time focusing on something because we're so crowded in our life. Oh, superficiality. We only get skin deep because we never have time to go deeper on anything. And the great price is we're just unloving. It's hard to love someone in a hurry. It doesn't work that way. Girls, if you're dating a guy and he's always telling you he loves you and he never wants to spend time with you, don't believe him. And then some call this sunset fatigue for those of us that go home to spouse and children, is that we have been in such a hurry all day long that by the time we get home, we have no more energy left because of the speed that we've lived. You see, the Ten Commandments is the only commandment that we, the Sabbath commandment is the only of the Ten Commandments we brag about breaking. Oh man, I worked 80 hours a week, man. I was up at the office late last night. I mean, we did this. No reason to brag. Look at all the things that it does. Now, associated with all of this is actually depression. I remember years ago when I was suffering from my deepest depression, going to a counselor, and we were talking about how to get better. And I remember her telling me, buddy, the reason so many of us are suffering from depression today is that our bodies were never meant to live at this speed. Our minds were never meant for this. And we're just sort of burning out some things. And so I said, well, what's the answer? She said, well, as deep as you're in this, if you could just take 6 months off and go do nothing but rest, you probably could restore it. Or either we may need to try some medication. Now, I don't know if you completely agree with her point, but I think the point is well taken, is that the pace we're living has a price to do with it. Pascal, the famous French mathematician, inventor, theologian of the 16th century, nailed it when he said all those centuries ago, all man's problems come from his inability to sit quiet in a room and be still. It's a pretty bold statement. We've made a statement like that often here at Landmark. Satan can't make you bad. He'll just make you busy. Because he knows all of these things happen in our life when we burn the candle on both ends. And then just to add to that list, even worse, is we become distant from God. You can't build a great relationship with God without time. I like what someone says, there's often no difference in quantity time and quality time. The quality time is quantity time. And I can't go every morning and check off my quiet time, you know, and say my quick prayer and just move on and feel like I'm going to go deep with God. And that's one of the great prices that we're paying today. So here's what I want to do, just for a moment, our lesson. I want us to hit the pause button right now ourselves. I'm just going to break for about a minute, minute and a half. And I'd like you to look over this list. And if you're by yourself, just think about it, pray with it, pray about it on your own. Or if you've got some people there in your living room with you, discuss. Which of these prices are you paying because of the hectic lifestyle that you're living? Think about that right now. We'll get right back with it. Now, I hope you've had a good discussion. And it's good for us to come to grips with this. Let's get, though, to the positive part of our lesson that I think will convince us to slow down even when this is over, and that's the power of pause. You see, normally we hit the pause button when something more important comes up. I mean, if I'm watching a great movie and my grandkids walk in the door, I'm not going to say, hey, we got another hour left in this movie, you guys fend for yours. No, we're going to hit the pause button. And here are all the great things that happen when we hit the pause button. Let me give you a list of them. We begin to rest. You know, your body, your mind, your soul all needs time when it's not tense. John Ortberg said, often the most spiritual thing you could do in the middle of a day is to take a nap. I think there's something to that. And then the next one would be release. Now listen to this quotation. Solitude is the one place where we gain freedom from the forces of society that ruthlessly mold us. You see, in our hectic lifestyle, we are molded by what society tells us what we ought to be doing instead of what God wants us to do. And there's so many illustrations of this, but what I'm hearing a lot during this pandemic is families that are home with their children who, if this wasn't going on, they would be all in all kinds of youth sports. And they'd be in the car and they'd be eating, you know, Happy Meals all the time and Chick-fil-A and never at home and just rushing from here to here to here. And I hear a lot of families that are finding, you know what? That just might not be the right choice. That's not conducive to good family life. And I think once we step away from our busyness, often we can be released from the pressure that the world says, you need to do more, work more, play more, just to be with God. And then that brings us to reflect. When you pause, you can reflect. God did that at the end of creation. He said, it's good. In our lives, Scripture says we need time to just reflect. I mean, and when you reflect, a couple of things happen. I know this is happening to me right now, is I am just so much more thankful for what I do have. When you're in a hurry, you don't catch it. You don't notice the sunset. You don't notice the beautiful house you live in. You take it for granted. And often in that time for reflect on the other side, we also see some things about ourselves we don't like. I love when the psalmist said in Psalm 139, God, search me, try me, see if there's any offensive way in me. And as we've been praying over the last week, Lord, tell me what you want to tell me. You know, he's been telling me some pretty tough things. Things that I need to deal with, not in some terrible way, but things that are actually going to make me better when I get through with it. So it gives us time to reflect. It gives us time to refocus. You know, when you're watching a movie, often I don't catch everything. That's one thing I love about watching a movie at home. Because I'll forget which character this was or what was said in the dialogue, or I didn't hear it completely, or I'm not putting it together from a scene 10 minutes back. And it's so wonderful that I can touch that pause button and go, hey, baby, what did he just say? How does that tie together? And in our time of pause, we get to refocus on the things that really matter. I get to really listen to the voice of God. To me, the key verse in all the Bible and spiritual growth is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, where Paul says, we all fix our eyes on Jesus. We all behold him and we reflect him. That the key to spiritual growth is not me doing more. The key is me keeping my focus on Jesus. And the closer I am to him, the more I become like him. In the end of our Christian journey, the promise is we will see Jesus face to face. And you know what the Bible says? We will be just like him. You want to grow? Refocus in this time of quietness and stillness on God. And then it's a time to refresh. Scripture says those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. One reason we're so burnt out is because we don't sit in stillness and quietness. Have you noticed this in your job? When you have time to break, time to get away from something, you're always more creative. I love to work on a message really hard one day and then put it to the side and say, I don't want to look at it until tomorrow. In fact, the outline that I'm sharing with you today is very different today than it was yesterday when I first thought about it. Because when you have time to step back, you have time to be refreshed and you have time to think. And your mind is not so absorbed that it's got time to go down all kinds of different avenues. And you become more creative and you become refreshed. I understand here, guys, pause is not the go. Pause is the temporary stop to prepare us. And so right now, I want to hit the pause button again with you. And I want you to look at the list of what we have here. And I want you to answer to yourself or to the people in your room, what's one or two of these practices that you are or that you need to practice in the middle of this pause that we're a part of right now that would do so much good for you? Please think about that for a couple minutes. I hope that was helpful for you. I know we're not giving you enough time, so keep on thinking about some of those things and allow God to use this. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, you know, what we're trying to do in pause is prepare ourselves for action. Back in 1929, Coca-Cola came out with a slogan that's really stuck around more than most of their slogans. Coca-Cola, the pause that refreshes. because it was meant to refresh you, to be re-energized for life. And so that's what I'm loving watching right now among our people, is so much good is going on, because we are having time to be creative about how to serve, and we are having a pause, and then we're able to engage in activity in a whole different way. So I want you to hear from one of our members this morning who's getting to see that up close. I'm so thankful to be joined by Valerie Bramlett. Her and her husband, Denny, have been members here at Landmark for 3 years. They had lived in Montgomery years ago and moved away to Arkansas. And in the way we look at it, they came back home. And we've just been thrilled to have them. Valerie works at Wesley Gardens. And so, you know, she's seen a lot during this pandemic. And she's seen a lot of good. And one thing, Valerie, we were trying to do today is it's just highlight the good that's coming out of this. And we're talking about the pause that, you know, God is using in our life. I mean, everything's on pause. But in the middle of that kind of pause, people tend to step up and do good things. So I just love from your perspective to share some of the good things you've seen the Landmark family do there at Wesley Gardens.
Well, that's an easy thing to say. I feel like, just in general, Landmark is very community-minded, which is one of the things that drew us to Landmark. And being here at Wesley Gardens, which was a very unexpected situation, but I fell in love with it. It's a beautiful place to be. The people are wonderful. And I'm not surprised that once I got here, I found out that Landmark was already involved in helping in lots of different ways here. I know during Holy Week you've come out and spoke to our residents as well. But one of the first things I saw when I got here was in the spring, the Chemos for Christ class does a fish fry for us. And it is a lot of fun. If there's anything we do here at Wesley Gardens, it is have fun. And we want every occasion to be as memorable as possible. And the residents love that. And every year it seems new again. And it is a little bit. But we had several couples from that class come out and visit and help serve the fish. The men went and, I guess, caught the fish. Al Milgren's very involved in that.
Oh, yeah, he loves it.
And it was just great. It was a great time outdoors, and we have live music, and always have dancing and fun. And that was a precious time, and very memorable. They love talking about it. As well as we've had small groups come in and visit with residents. We've had small groups make ice cream. We have an ice cream social in the summer for homemade ice cream. And just even at one point, very last minute, some folks jumped in and made some homemade ice cream for our residents. And very, very wonderful. Recently, we had the masks made by some of the ladies at Landmark, and those have been a huge hit. They just love them, think they're just wonderful, and not only our residents, but obviously our healthcare workers as well. So Just feels good to be a part of that.
Well, we're so thrilled with the amount of our ladies who have been sewing those masks and getting them all up all over town, and we certainly are thrilled that they've gotten to Wesley Gardens. Because, you know, the point we're trying to make today is that, you know, our activities from God should flow from our time with God. And I think we're seeing that with our people having time. And that's leading to a lot of creativity in what we do. So, Valerie, I just wanted to ask one more question to you is, in what ways do you see God working on you in the middle of this pause?
I have, obviously, as many people, reflected a lot on that lately. I think just stretching myself a little bit. I know just here at work, which I loved finding out that I was essential. That made me feel good because, you know, everybody wants to be needed. But with what I do, which is marketing, I kind of felt like maybe I, you know, didn't really have a place in this time. And I love these folks here. I love the residents. I've gotten so close to them, and they're like extended family. And I, when we got the memo from the governor and we knew that some people weren't going to be coming in certain places, it was quickly made known to me that I was essential, which made me feel great, but it's also caused me to step into other roles here, which I like. And so it stretched me a little bit in that. And so I'm getting to care in different ways than I have before. I've learned a lot about the dietary department. I've learned a lot about the housekeeping department, the maintenance department, and it's really great just to be able to jump in and kind of do all of those different things that they need me to do. So,
wow, sounds like you got a lot going on. We're really
it's great. It's a blessing every day.
Awesome. You represent God well. You represent Landmark well, and we appreciate
Thank that.
You. I have one request is, next spring, could you get me invited to that fish fry?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
That's some good stuff. Well, God bless you, and have a great week in the Lord.
Thank you.
I hope you've been convinced that there's a great biblical principle to Paul's, that we pay an incredible price when we don't practice this, and that there's so many blessings involved when we do practice it. And so as we come toward the end of our message, let's just be straight about this. We do have a problem with Paul's. I know I do. It feels awkward. I think many of us have had that awkward feeling in the middle of this is, I've got all this time. I need to be doing something. I'm the kind of person that's used to getting up in the middle of the commercial and putting another load in the washing machine or taking the trash out before the show starts back. I mean, it's like awkward silence. They say for Americans, if you're in a conversation, if there's 4 seconds of silence, we start feeling awkward. In Americans, it's quicker than other people in the world. And this Paul's idea is awkward to us. It's countercultural. It's not what we're used to. But I think if you'll remember the two lists we've looked at today, we're paying a big price. And can I be bold enough to say this? This morning, by disobeying God on this. And what a beautiful thing would happen if in this time where life's been put on pause, we learn to live differently. I refer to an old song, I think has the best words about this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you trust him? And would you obey him in this idea of Sabbath and pause? You see, we have a choice even today. While life is on pause, this can either be a time that can depress us. I mean, we can just sit around and gripe about it, moan about it, just sort of make our mind, I'm just going to make it through this time. It could depress us. Or it could be a time to refresh us, that we come out of this a better people with better rhythms in our life. That's what God would want for us. So I want to ask you,